I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act like my ex got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending blood quantum's in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
This is your hostess, Deanna Standing Cloud, and you're listening to Medicine Bundle. And this week we have a guest in the studio, and I will just allow her to introduce herself and we'll get going on our conversation this week.
Buju, Anamaki Bene Sikwe Indigu, Kari Tribal Indigena Kaz, Magizi Indodame, Odawa Zaga Ingening, and Dunjaba. Hello, my name is Thunderbird Woman, that's what Creator calls me. My English name is Kari Tribble. I am Eagle Clan, and I'm from Lakota Ray Reservation.
Awesome. It's so good to have you in the studio, Kari. So Kari and I actually, we met at, so she was in the Oyate Leadership Network cohort, and a year before me, I actually applied to be in that one, and I wasn't selected for that one. I was kind of bummed out. There's somebody else who was in our cohort who said the same thing, but I'm so glad it worked out the way it did. So why don't you tell me about yourself and kind of how long you've been in the cities and the kind of work you do as well.
Yeah, so it was really awesome meeting you at the graduation. That's where we met, was the graduation ceremony weekend. And it was so fun to see your group and to meet all of you. And I feel like it all was meant to be, you know, you guys just were special. And I'm so grateful to be here in the cities and connected to these networks and to our people and community. I have been in the Twin Cities area since around 2005-ish. And what I do is I'm the owner of Avari Beauty, which is an Indigenous-owned esthetician salon and brand. We're based in like the border of like Shoreview, White Bear Lake, that North Metro area. And I also have been a musician in my past, and I come from treaty rights activists, so I have like activism in my family. My father was an AIM leader, so he was connected to the AIM movement here in the cities, and yeah, that's kind of my background.
A musician? What? How? I had no clue. I've known you for almost 2 months.
Yeah.
I didn't know. No. Tell me about that. So like a musical instrument?
Yeah. You know, I used to create, record, make my own music back in the day. This was like 2008 to 2014-ish. Mm-hmm. And some of my music was used in some of the local film projects and won an award once. And I've collaborated with other artists in other countries. My music is a little bit more like eccentric and a little bit different. So I feel like it always picked up a little bit better and like more like Northern Europe, like you know, Switzerland or the Netherlands or like South America.
Oh my God. Could we listen to some of it on this show?
Yeah, I could share a couple of things. I haven't written anything, though, in about 10 years, and mm-hmm. I'm just now getting back into it. So I'm excited to tap into that part of myself, that cathartic, healing, just expressive nature part.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. okay, so just listening to your voice, I'm willing to bet that you are a vocalist, too.
Yes. I play guitar. I play, so I would arrange and compose different different musical instruments, and I would record and produce and mix, and then sometimes I would take it to a studio and have them just polish it up for me. But yeah, I've done all the little things. The only weakness that I have, though, are drums.
Mm-hmm.
So I would used to have to like find loops and things to put that into the songs.
Yeah, I'm sure you could figure out the drum part.
I don't know. I like a hand drum, good old-fashioned hand drum. I can do that, but the other ones are a little more complicated for me.
That's awesome. And Minneapolis is such a, or you know, the Twin Cities is such a perfect spot for any musician, or you know, just to spark that creative spark again. If you were a musician back in the day, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about Prince. I saw a meme or something yesterday about Prince and. About, you know, everything that's going on in our city right now. And like Prince was the only one who thought that the revolution would start in Minneapolis. And
it's true. He saw a lot of things that I feel like are coming into fruition now. You know, he was always just a visionary, I feel like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just learning about that he was self-taught. And I always wanted to meet him, and my sister said that you're going to meet him one day, and then he passed away. I was like, I'm still going to meet him.
Yes.
Someday. Yeah. He's very much a part of like me growing up and the music that influenced me as a kid, and growing up in the same city too. I was hoping I probably been in the same building as him before, but mm-hmm. he, you know, he's probably like incognito or something.
Yeah. Slipping in, slipping out.
Yeah. He was probably in the cut somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
Cool. So Avardi Beauty. So how long have you had that business?
I founded Avardi back in 2016. So it's been about 9 going on 10 years. It'll be 10 years in June.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you get going on that, and like what inspired you to follow on that path?
Yeah. So that actually just happened kind of accidentally. When my son was born back in 2011, I actually developed a really serious infection. I was septic after the birth. I had like remaining placenta. It just turned into this really scary situation. I almost didn't make it. But I survived that. And then 6 months later, I found out that I had thyroid cancer. And so, you know, I had this newborn. I had this baby. And I could barely function. So I was bedbound quite a bit. And during that time, I just remember I've always been connected to the expression of beauty and just kind of what that looks like. And so I'd watch, you know, makeup videos on YouTube, and that sort of distracted me, but it also made me excited for just finding myself again through all of that trauma and that pain. And I really connected with the concept of like, I want to, you know, my body survived all of these things. I want to show appreciation. And I feel maybe it's just culturally like in there, but I felt like I want to express that. And so I wanted to use the use of color and acts of self-care as a way to just thank my body for surviving what it did. And that what is truly like the foundation of what Avardi represents. It's not about a superficiality. It's about, you know, claiming what beauty means to us. And especially from like a cultural standpoint, how can we, you know, insert ourselves in this industry? What can we bring into it with our own teachings? And to me, it's like, you know, we used to have in our Anishinaabe culture, we have like these floral, beautiful embroidered, you know, patterns and designs. And, you know, and I think, you know, we used to use different plants and things to help with our own skin and our hair. And, you know, what does that look like if I create a business that ties that in with this like act of celebration to recognize our bodies and the things that it does every day to keep us going and to allow us to have this gift of an experience, this spiritual experience. And so that's, yeah, that's the foundation of Avari. So I started, I remember at the time, my father gave me a little loan, not even a loan, as a gift, to take a class to learn how to do eyelash extensions. And so that enabled me to work from home while my son was really young, because I was a single mom as well. And then once I started doing eyelash extensions, I started to think about, well, all of this is going into the earth. Like, these are little plastics, you know, and I felt like, how can I also make a difference in that way? So I researched materials, and I ended up finding out that there were other materials that we could use to create extensions and even lash strips and things like that. So I worked with a manufacturer, and we came up with sustainable eyelash extensions. So we're the first in the industry to have sustainable lash products, which is great. So that's kind of the what really sets us apart. And so I started there, and then I moved into expanding services. And when my son got older, then I moved locations out of my home and then started hiring staff. And now I have a standalone building, and I have, you know, staff, and we've grown, and now we're in this whole new direction.
Wow, such an inspiring story. And that, I think the why of why, you know, like the path and kind of what started you on the journey is so powerful, because it makes what you're doing that much more strong, and it inspires people. And, you know, it's like, why can't Native people or Native women feel beautiful? Like, mm-hmm. I think for so many years I took, you know, I'm like, I didn't want to buy myself anything nice, or, you know, it's like, okay, as long as we're surviving and the kids are good, it's like, whatever. But when you put that intention, it's okay to like feel beautiful. It's okay to buy yourself things. It's okay mm-hmm. to dress nice, because you feel good when you do that. And I mm-hmm. think it's so amazing to like reclaim that. And it's not like it's, I don't know. And having the sustainable products is really, really cool, because there's in the beauty industry, it's like, oh my God, there's all these ingredients that are toxic, or you're mm-hmm. not really sure, or like, I like sparkly stuff, but there's always these microplastics in it. And it's like, if you find different ways to make sure that it's a natural expression, that's mm-hmm. that's so incredible. Yeah. Avari.
Yeah, you know, we do our best. I think it's impossible for anybody right now to be 100% perfect with when it comes to natural sustainability. But, you know, you can do your best and have your good intentions out there. And that's what we're doing. So most of our supplies in the salon are more eco-friendly. We use, you know, we have to use a lot of like one-use products for compliance and stuff. And so for those, we use a lot of bamboo made like lipstick applicators and mascara wands and things to that extent, which really helps us. We use like biodegradable trash bags, and we find like different things that we can do, which helps.
Yeah, for sure. Because it breaks down into the earth, and it's not like going to stay there for a millennia. So, and I love bamboo clothing, and just the way that natural feeling is on your skin, because I've been, you know, reading into like the synthetic fibers that are on your skin or your clothes or the stuff in hair products or, so I've been really like trying to swap out even like my sheets on my bed for like 100%, and like really being more cognizant of like synthetic fibers and all those things, because it's so it helps your body to like be in a more natural state, I think, too.
It does. It really does. It connects you to nature again, you know, when we need that more and more.
Yeah. And I feel like our bodies kind of remember and like match, like, okay, this is cotton, like this is natural, instead of like, I'm not sure what the synthetic fibers are, but I need a lot of stretchy stuff too.
Yes, I know.
To make it stretchy. But so like if I'm sewing too, I've been trying to, you know, sew blankets and ribbon skirts, but really like looking at, because some of the fabrics are not always 100% cotton, so I'm like, I have to get that. And like even like the thread is like has to be 100% cotton too. So just having that mind shift too, and So how, I have a question. I'm just curious. This is my own. How did you come up with the name Avari?
Okay, so that's actually a combination of my son's name and my name together. So my son's name is Avon, and so I took the A-V from the beginning of his name, and then Kari, K-A-R-I, so I took the A-R-I, and then we became Avari.
I love it. It's such a cute, like, cute name, too. I love it.
It just fits, like, for a beauty brand and beauty business. It just, like, sounds really good, and it's unique, and then I ended up finding out after I did that that it actually means of the heavens from the sky. So it's actually like a word that exists out there.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. So perfect,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
So what is like day-to-day look like? Like what kind of clients and like how do they find you? Do you have any inspiring stories that you've heard of clients coming in? And
yes. Oh, man. We are so lucky to have the clients that we do. It feels like family. It feels like community. And I feel like the most important thing that I've noticed is people come in and they can just be themselves. So, you know, they feel comfortable coming in like in comfy clothes or they're dressed up or they're in between meetings or, you know, they're just wonderful people. And, you know, they come, they've been loyal. So we get a lot of like word of mouth and social media. People find us through that too. But I feel, you know, the stories, I mean, we've had people from, you know, different parts of the city, and then we've had people from out of town come in. We've had people with, you know, some like celebrity status come see us, and but everybody's treated the same and everybody feels really comfortable with us, and that's the most important thing. They just feel they can share. I mean, we hear a lot about like intimate lives and just their own like overcoming struggles and, you know, triumphs and things like that. So it's a great place, you know, beauty salons and things like that. It's we're more than just that. We're more than helping people feel good. We're there to support them in their journey too.
It's almost like when you get your hair done or get, you know, your eyelashes done or having something done with your skin, it's almost like it's a cathartic thing, and then you have your technician there, and it's almost like they're bordering on a therapist too.
It's true. Yeah,
because one of my daughter's friends paint my nails last night, and I'm like going on and on about, you know, back in the day, and I'm like, this is it's just a natural thing to want to connect with who's working on you, and then it's kind of like you're not like in a therapy session where you're looking at them like, okay, and that you're not doing anything else, but when your focus is on something else, it's like the floodgates open.
It does. I know. We can just decompress at that moment and just let it out, and it's so great. You know, we see so many of the journeys of life too. You know, I've had clients come to me, meet the person that they're excited to, oh, I met somebody, and then, you know, a couple years later, we're getting engaged, and then you're invited to their wedding, and then they have like a bunch of kids, and it's just been so fun to see people, you know, get that job or, you know, go through that horrible breakup, but then they find their way again. And, you know, so it's, to me, it, you know, beauty really is so much more than just what we think it is or what the colonized version of it is. It's it's like a time for like honoring yourself and your body, expressing yourself, having fun, but also defining what that means. You know, it's okay if you don't want to put makeup on. It's okay if you do. You know, I think about that a lot too. It's like, I wish I would have known more, wish we would have more information about what our ancestors thought of and what they did. You know, I've done research, I've found a little bit of things, but really it's just so much of that part too. It's like a question, you know, how did we approach these concepts, you know? And so I try to keep that in mind when I think about, like, you know, expanding Avari, and like, you know, we have the seven grandfather teachings, we have that displayed in our salon, and, you know, we use that to really decide a lot of things, not only just like what customers experience, but even on the back end, like my whole employee base is like diverse, and, you know, I think about all of those teachings and how to help them in, you know, their employment with us, but also personal lives, and how we can help, you know, in general with community in that way too.
I love that. It's and we need more of like more of the family feel, and we need to be able to think of folks that we can count on, or just somebody who makes us feel comfortable and really honors us and our humanity. So I love that. And Carrie had shared a little bit about the salon and her work culture during the Oyate Leadership Network weekend. And I just thought that was so beautiful because I've never heard of like a beauty salon implementing like the Seven Grandfather teachings and like really showing up in that way. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great.
It's so fun. And some of the tools that Te Wahe created through this program are incredibly helpful when mm-hmm. I mean, you can take them and you can actually use it for your trainings or even with like management. Like, here are some tools that, you know, help you think through a process, because we're humans. We're going to have our emotions. We're going to get frustrated sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do things that will frustrate my staff sometimes, unintentionally, of course. But then you look at these tools that they have and like these workbooks, and you can follow that and say, oh, okay, I can, you know, take this emotion, process it, and then find the right teaching or right, you know, solution through that, you know, through that journey of the, you know, helping you figure out this is the best way to navigate this situation. Mm-hmm. So I really, really appreciate that. And that's something that I'm thinking about doing too, is how can I help maybe like through consulting or whatever other businesses implement some of these teachings. And because I feel like it's really powerful work. It's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. So with the Oyate Leadership Network, we really spent a lot of time looking at both Dakota and Ojibwe traditional teachings. And then there was a lot of different exercises and activities utilizing those teachings and how that shows up in your personal life as well as professionally. So it was so helpful. So this is just kind of a plug for two graduates of the Oyate Leadership yeah. Network to apply. I think they do it probably every year. And it's such an investment in each leader. And I think mm-hmm. It's really, I think, transformative, because when you invest in people and individuals, that, you know, they apply that in the world. And it's so helpful. It's so helpful just to stay afloat, because we need so much help.
We
these
do.
Days.
We're still in the thick of our healing, you know, reclaiming and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so surprised. So like that you've been here for so long and we just now met. So it was so funny because during the Oyate Leadership Network, there's like these marketing banners. And so the whole time, so we started in maybe July, and the whole time, every weekend, we'd spend two like days in the classroom, and there's these banners and there's a picture of Carrie on it. And I was like, I think after maybe the second or third time, we're like, who is that? Because I don't know who that is, but she's beautiful and she's native, and we're like, she's so beautiful. And then she showed up and it was like, oh my God, you're even more beautiful in person. And we were so happy to get to know you and learn about your work, because it's unlike anything I've ever heard of. And it's super, for the Twin Cities area, it's such a cool thing to offer.
I really appreciate that. I know, that was so funny. I think Boss Wei Wei told me about that you guys were like, who is this woman? And then I show up there, and then I remember we took pictures of me by the banner of me.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, we're like, who is that? And so it was cool to have them jump out of the banner and into real life, because mm-hmm. they spent time with us. So,
yeah.
How? What is your, like, what was your most profound teaching during the Te Wahe Foundation? Like, what specific thing helped you the most in your work?
Oh, man, I have to choose one. That's a hard
or
one.
Or just a story. I don't know.
You know, it was so transformative. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was just to reclaim and reconnect with, like, this knowledge that even just the Seven Grandfather teachings, I feel like I've heard a little bit about it growing up, but they really go into it. And I remember reading the book that talked about that, too. James wrote that book. And I think it was, the more that I am learning about our culture, the more that I feel like a part of myself is no longer missing. Mm. You know? So that I feel was really impactful, just the whole experience of just diving deep into those teachings to live a good life, to remember who we are, how we pray, mm-hmm. our songs. So I feel like that, I think in general, if you can connect to that knowledge, it transforms everything in your life. You know, mm-hmm. it really does. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's kind of like a remembrance. And I used to actually work with James back in the day. We worked together at Indian Ed. I actually remember going to Ojibwe language table at Tilly Bean. So this was like a coffee shop on 42nd and kind of by Hiawatha. It's no longer there, but I remember seeing a flyer. It was like 2011. And there was myself and James and I think one or two other people, but it was all intimate. And like, that was the first time I met him. And then we started working at Indian Ed together. And just as he started doing like teachings about the seven grandfather teachings, and I'm like, this is like, it's almost like it was like the first time I've heard of it, but it was almost like I remember it kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, it connects you to something so deep within you. And you know, one of the teachings about wisdom, I mean, you know, I loved when Susan, she was one of our facilitators through Oyate, she was talking about how, you know, our words, they are more than just words. They have like full meanings to them. And so for the word of wisdom, it actually translates more to like, you know, the knowledge that travels through our bones, you know, so we are, you know, our lineage, you know, we carry forward wisdom from our ancestors. And then when we have our own human experiences, that wisdom travels through our next generations, mm-hmm. you know. So so I feel like in a lot of ways, hearing that connects to that deep part of like what's really like within us, like we're made of that knowledge, and finding a way to connect it with, you know, words and insight and stories just completes us in a way, you know.
So profound. I know, mm-hmm. I heard that too, where the, and it was.
The light in our bones.
Yeah, the light inside of our bones. Yeah, the light in our bones. Like, when I first heard that too, I'm like, what?
I know. We're so cool.
We're so cool.
We're just so cool.
We're just super cool, but... Yeah, when you hear that, it's, you know, like there's certain little things where you're like, man, and it just kind of shifts your whole perspective on everything. And it shifts your whole perspective on like connecting with relatives and like who you are and mm-hmm. who they are and your relationship with the land and the universe. And you're like, and it's just one little teaching.
I
not
know.
Little, but
a big little teaching.
Yeah. Well, it's just like one word and you're like, this whole word like set unlocked a whole
thing.
Right.
I know. It's great.
We're so cool and we're so lucky.
Very much so. Yes. I think about that too, just how lucky we are when, you know, something that just makes me take in a moment of like stillness of like, wow, mm-hmm. is the realization that we are survivors of ancestors that survived, mm-hmm. you know, like, just the strength and what they had to go through so we could be here. It just takes my breath away when I think about that. You know?
Me too.
Especially right now.
Me too. I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's okay to cry. And it's okay.
Yes.
I'm, we're going through it here. So we're in the Twin Cities and it's January in 2026. And Carrie and I were just talking about a lot of what was happening outside. And to our relatives mm-hmm. before we got on the microphone. And I mean, we can unpack that too. And I think that's part of our medicine and our resilience as Native women is just to talk about this and voice it. Because personally, my throat, I haven't been able to like get rid of that heavy feeling on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want it off of me. And there's a lot going on. We're gonna take a little break here. But when we come back, we can just kind of unpack and just be in our feels and just our thoughts and just kind of, because if we talk about it, I feel like it helps us to heal. And so we're not like bottling it up, because I've been bottling things up lately.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we'll take a little bitty break. Not too long. Don't go anywhere. Eh?
They're going to miss us.
They're going to so miss us. Don't miss us too bad.
Oh, it's okay.
We'll be right back. We're talking to Carrie Tribble. How do you say your Indian name again?
Oh, Anna McKee Benesique.
Anna McKee Benesique. Oh, wow. That's so powerful. I could just see her. Okay. Thank you for listening. This is Medicine Bundle, and you're listening to Deanna Stanicloud and Carrie Tribble.
Despertemos. Despertemos, humanidad. Ya no hay tiempo.
Make the fight for freedom every day, in the year, every year.
We must not let ourselves be divided.
Tuesday, January 27th is Active Voice on KFAI, a day of special programming spotlighting Minnesotans working toward justice in our current world. Learn more at kfai.org/activevoice.
Hey, you're listening to Dallas Goldtooth on the Medicine Bundle on KFAI 90.3.
Okay, we're back and we're talking with my Quay, Carrie Tribble, Anna McKee Benesi Quay.
Oh, wow. Good job.
So we were just talking over the break, and I recall, so I think it was like 90, was it 92? 90, in the 90s. So there was it's kind of like a movement that started, because there was, and I was a young person, but I know about the movement with, there was I viscerally remember the sign that somebody was holding, like, say, kill an Indian, save a walleye, or what was the sign?
Yeah, so that was during the walleye wars, which was back in like the 80s actually, because they won. So we, okay, let's kind of back up a little bit. So in Wisconsin, we had some treaty rights there that were being violated. So our people were supposed to be able to hunt and fish on mm-hmm. ceded territory. So even off res, if it was ceded, they were supposed to be able to hunt and gather. And my father and uncle, you know, they were born in 1939, so Mike and Fred Tribble, you know, they grew up getting arrested sometimes, or their friends getting arrested. They would go hunt or fish, and let's say they were across the treaty line, but then they would get, you know, profiled and picked up, and their food confiscated, thrown in jail. And so my uncle and my father, they were able to do like a free semester at St. Scholastica in Duluth, and it was like all about treaty rights. And they discovered through their studies there that, you know, our treaties were being violated. And so they asked the professor, they were like, how do we fix this? This is, you know, this is ridiculous. My dad, you know, he's been arrested a few times. And the professor's like, well, you need a test case. They're like, well, how do you do that? And they're like, well, you need to get arrested. So they devised a whole plan, and they purposely got arrested. This is like 1973, around that time. Mm-hmm. And so they got arrested. They went ice fishing. And, you know, they went through that whole process to create a test case, and it took 10 years, but they finally won. And it went up to the Supreme Court even. And when they won, it created this whole movement across the nation of strengthening tribal sovereignty. And so their case is still cited to this day in other, you know, cases and things like that to help, you know, continue that movement. But what happened then is after they won and they were able to spear and, you know, have their freedom to do what they should have been able to do all along, there was a pushback, a racist, you know, response to that, which is known as the Walleye Wars. So there was a lot of, like, violence and a lot of protesting, and they were, you know, writing horrible signs, which is what you saw, you know. So, yeah, that happened for a while and then eventually kind of died down, although it kind of peaked back up this year, or, I mean, 2025. There was a little bit of that kind of, you know, once... with the state of the world that we're in now and this, like, you know, movement of being racist again and just whatever, it kind of spurs other people to think that they can be emboldened and, you know, and be hurtful and harmful. So that's what you're remembering at that time.
Is it the Tribble Brothers? Is that what it's? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So I have this whole timeline on in my house, and it's like this yeah. treaty timeline. Like it started off like Anishinaabe migration, and then mm-hmm. the Tribble Brothers is in there, and I walk by it every time I go to the bathroom, and back and forth, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, Tribble Brothers. So it's very much in my psyche. So it just connected when yeah. you said, I was like, oh. So, wow, yeah. that's a 10-year test study. And so as Indigenous people, so the treaties by their, you know, the government's words is the supreme law of the land.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, we're just upholding what you're saying. So, and our tribal sovereignty is something that we weren't gifted by the government. It was gifted to us by our creator. So mm-hmm. we're here and we're stewards of the land. And in order to hunt and fish, it's not something, it's not a sport. Mm-mm. It's really who we are. And it's, you know, when we gather food and harvest things from the earth, medicines and animals and trees, it's a expression of really who we are as human beings. So it's I just want to put that out there, because I think people think like we're trying to compete with somebody for like a sport or and it's not that. It's completely
living
different.
Our way of life, mm-hmm. you know, and just yeah connecting to that truth.
Man, mm-hmm. I need your autograph, I think. That's crazy, because maybe you can come sign my poster sometime, because it says Tribble Brothers. I think there's a picture like of them.
Those two.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. I know.
And my father did pass away 2025, but my uncle is still with us.
Wow.
And so I'm actually in the midst of putting together a website that has all of the resources of their whole story. Before, literally, but like probably 3 weeks before my dad passed away, I was able to hire a filmmaker to come. There was like a part of the story that they didn't really get to talk about, which is the impact, mm-hmm. you know, what this really meant, what they did. And so we got to film that just in time. So I'll be putting that on the website, and so people can see them and hear that part of it too.
Wow. Yeah. I had no idea. So what website is that?
I'm actually going to create it this
okay.
year. Yeah, I'm going to put it up for them.
Very
it's kind
cool.
of like another little thing I want to do for them. And then I thought about, you know, going around and talking about their work, you mm-hmm. know, maybe doing events or, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's
that's important, because mm-hmm. especially from like from their kid, you know, their daughter, and just what that legacy means, and kind of picking that up and then spreading the knowledge about like how impactful their work was.
Yeah.
You know,
and just how important it is to know that anyone can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have the ability to make a difference and to show up and fight for our way of life and our rights. And, you know, we all can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. my condolences on your dad's passing. He's probably hunting his heart out now and fishing his heart out right now.
And doing pranks on us.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we have powerful ancestors and we have powerful spirit helpers right now. And so Carrie and I are both single mamas. We're both boy moms. I'm a boy mom, but
I am too.
I'm not like a social media boy mom. I'm just hanging in there, but just, you know, as a Native woman, where are your thoughts and what are you feeling right now?
Ooh, there's a lot, you know, you know, I'm very empathic, so I feel that I'm tapped into a lot of the emotions right now, especially in the city. But I will tell you how hopeful I am at the same time. You know, it's I just see not only, you know, our relatives and our diverse relatives just doing their best to hang in there, which, you know, in some ways it's our fight, but it's actually not our full fight. You know, our more Caucasian relatives really are stepping up right now in the city, which I'm really, really grateful for, because I feel like that's going to be incredibly impactful with this fight that we're dealing with, because this is like a, you know, this is a bigger fight that's been going on for a long time. challenging the systems that have been existing for a long time. You know, like they started overseas and spread all around the world, you know. There's so much I could say on it, so I don't want to. There's a lot. Basically, I am overwhelmed, sad, frustrated, angry, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah. And it's so today, you know, it's January and it's been, you know, a very big week in Minnesota and Minneapolis. And I was born and raised here, and I am too empathic, and it's a superpower because it doesn't mean that, it means that we're very strong and very connected. And I've had so many people reach out just to check on me. I mean, I had two ladies send me food, mm-hmm. and, you know, just sending me money and like sending food to the house. And that beauty in who we are as people and taking care of one another and looking out for each other, mm-hmm. is it's so powerful. And I think I even, you know, last night we were watching a movie and I laughed the whole time. It was an animated movie of all time, of all things, but it was my daughter. I had both my daughters and my daughter-in-law, and we were doing our nails and we had pizza and we watched a movie, and I laughed and I kind of forgot, and that heavy weight on my chest and in my heart kind of lifted up for a little bit. And I think, you know, when you talk about our ancestors surviving so much, mm-hmm. I don't feel like they intended us to feel like this.
No, not at all. And it's a continued fight that we have to keep, you know, taking with us for our future generations as well. You know, as a single mom, you know, my son, he's been around protests since he was a baby. You know, I've been teaching him that, because that's something that's been lost in our culture and stripped away from our men, is just the warrior energy. And I think that's why a lot of our men have turned to, like in the past, in the 90s, gangs and different things, because they're lost. Their purpose was taken away, you know. So raising him around that, he's aware. He's 14, but he does his research. He's like really, really angry about the world that's kind of being left for him to deal with in his generation. And I feel like that's a common thing that's happening with these younger, you know, these younger kids. But I feel like there is this movement that's happening with like helping our men find their way back again. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like Native men's groups that I've been seeing like the revival in my own son. And then just paying attention to, you know, the people around us and our communities. Like you said, we're showing up. And that's the most important thing we can do, you know, at this time. I did want to share some insight with, you know, what my father and my uncle were going through at that time. You know, my dad, he was an American Indian Movement leader with Eddie Benton at the time to represent LCO. And they did a lot of things like the dam takeover at our tribe. And one of the things that I remember him saying to me, the point wasn't to create, they weren't there when they took over the dam. That was illegally put there without the tribe's permission. They didn't go there to destroy it or cause violence, but they did go there to occupy it. Mm. And the way that they approached it was really, I feel like, impactful. When they went to go occupy that property, they, you know, spoke to the guard. And they said, listen, we're going to be occupying this. Mm. You are free to leave, you know. They approached it in a very respectful way, but a very strong way. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the energy of like the Black Panthers at that time. I feel like mm-hmm. both of those movements really powerful. But they were there. They were not messing around. They meant business. But they weren't going to resort to violence and those colonizing tactics. Mm-hmm. They were approaching it in a different way, and that guard left, and they occupied it for several, you know, for a while, and then they won. And, you know, now it's, you know, they're working with the state on that and the energy company. But, you know, I think it's important that we keep our teachings with us, but that we do stand in our strength as warriors too, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't had the words pretty much all week. I've just, you know, been in my feels and, but a lot of, I had a, my daughter's coworker and they've created a bond. You know, they were both at each other's weddings this past year. And so she saw that I was struggling on social media. Like, we just connected on social media because she's an artist and she's young, you know, she's early 20s, 25 or something, you know, but she told me she wanted to stop by because she had something for me. And, you know, like, she just gave me a long hug and she's like, I seen that you were having a hard time. So here, I brought this for you. And, you know, it was like art and there's like popcorn and pretzels and like a little face mask and like some calming gummies and sour candy and she's young and I'm like sheltering in place and I'm like freaking out and she's like, it's okay, you know, I'm here. So these young people, and I remember knowing what that felt like. I'm gonna be 47 in like a week or two, so I remember what that felt like. But I just want to shout out to the young people who have that fire inside them.
They're special, aren't they?
Yeah. So it's like that same fire that you're talking about with your dad at the dam and your uncle, and just being brave and not, you know, violence is the very last thing. You know, it's like that's not who we are, because it's kind of a lazy approach. You know, it's not, we're not using our mind. And so I don't know what I'm saying, but
you know, the teaching of fire is, it's a knowing, it's gonna burn, you know, it has its like vessel of transformation, but there's a power within it of like, no, like, this is going to happen. We're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. We're going to change. Like, this is an old world that's dying. You know, this system that's been around for 2,000 some years, it's going to die. It's on its way out. So just remember the fire that's in us. Remember the warrior energy that's within all of us. And remember your compassion that's going to steer your fire so it doesn't get out of hand, you know. But we're powerful, and there's a knowing to that. Just know and trust in your heart and your mind. We're okay. Mm-hmm. And this is ending. And we're going to stop this. We're going to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think the faith is like kind of hard. You know, it's kind of hard because you have to let go. Mm-hmm. Your human part has to let go. And like having faith that everything's going to be okay. And I think that's hard. Because, you know, in your human mind, you're like, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to control this. But, you know, there comes a time where you're like, well, I just have to have faith and just let go of this. Yeah. I think that's the hardest part.
You know, it's important to process the emotion because we need to cry. We need to feel the vulnerability and the realization of, like, this impacts us and this is scary. And that's normal. I think you have to kind of, to reach fire and the teaching of fire, you kind of go through that. And then at a certain point, you just get fed up and you're like, no, I'm not going to, you just know, you know, there's no other alternative. Yeah. There's no other, you're going to do it and you're going to survive it. And yeah, you just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like Native women, it's like, what else are you gonna do? You have to be proactive.
Give us our wooden spoons and throw us on the streets.
Oh my gosh! And the wooden spoons, like, you're like old as heck. But
oh yeah,
girl, yes.
Just put us out there.
I don't know who I was talking to. Oh, it was yesterday. You know, I'm a Red Laker, you know, and I was like, I think I'm an anomaly because I'm all bubbly and all happy. I'm a Red Lake woman, like, you know, everyone's all mean. Like, the stereotype is like, we're all mean and crabby, but so I'm kind of weird like that. Bubbly.
You're like so sweet. But you're strong, though. You have that about you. You really do. You've just been through a lot the last couple of years, so.
Yeah.
But to me, I see you as, like, the strongest ever because you're here. You're doing this. You've gone through so much. You've overcome so much, you know. So I don't see that. I mean, I see you as, like, a really beautiful balance of, like, that strength from back home and whatnot and that resilience, but you're also balanced with, like, the lightness and when we need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need that. Even the people back home, you know, that's medicine. You know, a lot of them have a very justified reason to feel that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you have this, like, light. It's beautiful. It's great.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to stop. Let's take a break. No, I'm just kidding.
BRB.
BRB. I always say that all the time. So what, just because I know you have a lot, a big heart, and I could feel it, I could feel the medicine, what are your favorite ways of, like, healing and just taking care of yourself?
Yeah. Oh, I was not the best at doing that. I sacrificed myself a lot. I'm so much better now at having boundaries. Number mm-hmm. one, for people, especially empaths, you have to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, as we're born in our families and healing from generational trauma and all the cycles within that, we kind of grew up a bit vulnerable and, like, codependent, mm-hmm. managing other people's emotions. And, you know, because there's a lot of, like, anger and addiction and things to that extent. And if you're sensitive or empathic, it's you can forego your own boundaries or your own needs because you're just trying to manage safety in those spaces. So for me personally, I had to really learn that it's okay to put myself first sometimes, mm-hmm. and to know, like, if I take care of myself, I can actually be more effective at taking care of other people. So, like, your cup is not depleted. You can overflow into others. And really being aware of, like, my needs and my boundaries, and then having, and then the hardest part is then asserting those boundaries, because mm-hmm. then people that are used to you, you know, giving, or you give so much to people and they're used to that dynamic, they kind of go, what? And they don't really like it, but you have to learn to just let go. And then I was also in a narcissistic abusive relationship at one point in my life. And the gift of that was to learn to not worry about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the narcissist is so good at, you know, making you look a certain way, and like, you know, the right people are gonna believe you, and they're gonna not listen to that, but the wrong people will believe negative things about you, and it's just a mirror to show mm-hmm. you, like, you gotta let it go. So I've really learned a lot in my healing to just trust more and really just be my own advocate. And you know, nature, like, I love to smudge. That's a huge thing that when I went through the Oyate program, just learning more about our medicines and how to use them. So I have, when I'm on it, I will smudge in the morning, put tobacco mm-hmm. out before I start my day. And, you know, sitting by water, being, like, walking, like, nature itself, honestly, mm-hmm. you guys, like, if you just go out for a walk, you're gonna feel that medicine from nature. We're meant to commune with nature. We're meant to be out there with, you know, nature, and not only just to take, but to give back, you know, mm-hmm. like, we're also here to help nature too with, like, whatever it needs. So I feel like if you really just, you can't self-regulate, go outside,
mm-hmm.
just go outside.
Such a good, and it's so simple. Like, when I ask people about their self-care routine or just practices that they have, it's like the simplest thing. And it's free, you know, everything's like free, simple, yeah. basic. Yeah. You know, get next to water, put some tobacco down,
mm-hmm.
feel some earth. And it's super powerful. I remember we had visited Bolivia, and, like, my son was really little. It was probably 2010, maybe, and I was wearing moccasins just to, like, show off. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm a native too, you know, like, because we're visiting the indigenous communities there. And I remember going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and there's no electricity, and it was like, there's, you know, no running, you know, like, plumbing and things like that. So I had to go to, like, the outhouse, and I remember, like, walking on the earth and with my moccasins and like really understanding like, oh, this is why we have moccasins, because like the energy from the earth like shot up into my feet and it like woke up instantly. And I'm like, this is, you know, like we have shoes nowadays and it's like rubber and like steel toe shoes, but like I was like, this is crazy, because I was like, I felt the energy from the earth, and then that energy like made me look up into the stars, and I was like looking at the stars, and I'm like, it's like 4 a.m. and I'm like standing outside in the middle of like this indigenous community, and I'm like all by myself, and it was super dark, and I'm like, I'm not sure what kind of animals were out there, but I was like and there's like a little breeze, and just that moment is like, I will never forget that moment. But just knowing why our ancestors like wore natural things and like had those moccasins, because I could feel the energy from the earth on my feet.
That's a beautiful story. I felt like you took me with you. That was amazing. And that is so true. My great-grandfather to the fourth degree, he was Chief Akewenzi, who was the one that signed the treaties at that time. And there's a story of him walking barefoot along when he was trying to figure out where the border would be. He walked that whole way barefoot to communicate with the land. So there is something to that, you know, where we do have that communication. And again, we need to remember it's reciprocal. So it's not just for us to take. It's about being in relationship, you know. So I think of that story, and I think of your story and just how you were connecting at that time. And also, just not only were you receiving that, but you were also like engaging with the land and giving your own medicine to it, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful.
We forget about that, like, and you know, in my Lakota teachings, it's, you know, there's 7 directions, so it's like there's north, south, east, west, sky, earth, and then there's you is the 7th direction.
Amazing.
So I always think about that too, because it's like you are the medicine, so you are giving as well, and when you speak the language and the earth hears you, they remember that sound, because, you know, birds, they have that song, dogs, they have their bark, and then we have our language, and that's what we, our sound, and they probably haven't heard that in a while.
Wow.
I would imagine.
Yeah, that's so true.
So we, you know, just the little bit of language that we do know, we can always use it, and use it outside so that they can hear and remember. We're here. We're still hanging in there.
We are. We're coming back, man. Future
my God.
Future's native.
Oh.
It's true. It's in our stories.
Yes.
We're coming back.
Our prophecies, for sure.
Yeah.
So we have just a few more minutes. Is there any, like, final, things that you want to share, like the services you provide, or like how to find you if people want to book an appointment or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. No, our website is avaribeauty.com. You can book easily online with us. You can, there's like a texting feature on our website if you have any questions. We also have like product line, you know, for both consumers and professionals in our industry. So we sell the extensions, we sell the strip lashes. We're coming up with some new stuff, which I'm excited about, but still secret. And we're in the North Metro area, and we are a franchise too. So if anybody's interested in like opening up their own location, you should get in contact with me.
So AVARI?
Yep, AVARI and then beauty.com.
Avari Beauty. Oh my gosh. So I feel beautiful, more beautiful just hanging out. I totally need my eyebrows. Like, my eyebrows have never, I don't know. Let's not talk about them.
No, you have a nice shape to them.
There's a good shape, but there's they need some help. But I know one of our Oyate Leadership Network folk ladies had a winter salon, and I was like having a little FOMO. I was like, man, I kind of want to go there too. So
One by one. No. I've had a couple of them actually come in, which is really fun.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, so if you guys, if anyone out there is wanting to support a Native-owned business as well as get beautified or what kind of services? So you said